And we're live. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Grant. Hi, Jace.
Yeah, I just seen that. Oh, how long have you been spelling your name for?
Man, I spelt my name wrong and we've got three live viewers. Well, I'll work on that. And you guys can introduce the show. What's been going on?
Where you been, Grant?
I've been in Japan for a month. Back at work now.
Yeah. Bit of a change in weather and culture.
Yeah, probably 40 degrees warmer in Australia than what it was in Japan. I think we had minus 10 Monday.
Yeah. Well, your audio just changed too.
Yeah, what happened? Something went wrong with your audio. Where's your microphone?
Mine? Yeah. I'm right here. Is that all right? Did I sit back too far?
It's so loud.
Is it connected to your mic through your settings?
Don't do this to me now.
You double check that.
Yeah.
While I talk to Jim. Jim, what's going on?
Just been editing lots, like lots and lots.
Oh, yeah. Weddings.
Yes, lots of weddings.
Lots of weddings.
It's in peak season, trying to tidy up the end of last year. Well, tidied up the end of last year, actually, now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in 2023 editing, which is exciting.
Yep. Well, that's good. Getting through it.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Definitely feeling a bit more relaxed.
Yeah. We shot a wedding together on Saturday. You had one on Friday as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I did at the same place.
You had back-to-back weddings. What does that? What does that mean? The next week looks like. You know, after you shoot two weddings in a row, what usually happens? So you shoot a Friday and you finish at like 12 or whatever midnight, and then you shoot a Saturday all day, finish at midnight.
Yeah.
Then what happens? What happens on Sunday morning?
Sunday morning. I try and sleep in a little bit, but then nothing on Sunday, and then I start working.
So day Monday. Off Sunday.
Day off Sunday.
So, okay, but then you work on Monday. You don't take Monday off as well.
No, just Sunday.
Yeah.
So and then just jump straight into sneak peeks, culling sneak peeks from the weekend, and when you got two weddings, that means two culls, two sneak peeks.
What does a sneak peek look like for the average wedding these days? I know we kind of just worked on one, but I don't know if the one we did together is what you normally do.
No, they're normally somewhere between 30 and 50 photos. They're sort of a smaller sneak peek than what we were doing. They were getting pretty big. They were like almost a tenth of the wedding we were sort of doing for a sneak. Now they're sort of a bit smaller. I just kind of put from ceremony onwards in there. So it's just sort of a smaller highlight of the day.
We started doing sneak peeks 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So that we had something to post on social media quickly. We were putting them on Facebook. And then those Facebook sneak peek galleries that we did, I would say accounted for a massive amount of our growth in the early days, because we would post, I think the first one was 12 photos.
Yeah, I was just trying to say, do you know how small it was?
Yeah,
it was 12.
12 photos. Yes. That sort of fairly quickly went to like 30 or 40, which was a pretty good manageable number. Mm. And then it slowly crept up from there. We kept putting more and more in. But those sneak peeks, we were getting them up fairly religiously, either on a Tuesday or a Wednesday after the weddings. And people would just go crazy commenting on them, because it was sort of the prime of Facebook. Instagram was a thing, but not really a thing, particularly for like family and friends. It was more like young people's thing.
It was like a cool thing to post, not full photos. It was like
you wouldn't put a full
photo on like we do now.
No, people would put like a phone photo of their coffee art with a massive filter over it or something. So we would put them on Facebook, and just the amount of comments and likes that all the photos would get comments on them. And then the album would get comments on them, all the family and parents and everyone was commenting on them, and it really drove engagement. That's kind of dropped away now. What are you guys laughing at?
Nothing. I think Jim just realized.
Yeah.
Oh, you changed it. Damn. Oh, lucky I have the power. See you, Grant. Anyway, back to what Jim and I were talking about without Grant. I'll bring him back. Very funny. Grant changed my name. Oh, changed his name. The engagement was awesome, and then it slowly dropped away. So now you're only doing them on Instagram, correct?
Yeah, Instagram, pushing them to Facebook. For a while, I was doing them on our website, and that was sort of the peak sneak peeks that were, 80 to 100 photos. It was like a full sneak of each part of the day.
Yeah.
So it actually ended up taking a long time.
It's still tagging a lot of photos.
Yeah, it was a heap. It was I reckon it was a tenth of whatever I was delivering. So if I was delivering 1,000 photos, it would have been about 100 for the sneak.
Yeah.
And then, tagging every vendor, and it just got too much.
So now how many photos from a wedding would you post to Instagram?
Probably post to Instagram somewhere between 1 and 10. So sometimes I might put up a single photo.
So
that's probably sometimes just my capacity as well.
So the one that we did one, 2 days ago from the wedding that we shot on Saturday, and obviously that was two photographers, so it was a little bit bigger than normal, but that was way more than 10 photos. What do you do with those?
Just send them to the couple.
So the couple get them if they want to post them early. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And just for them to have a look through as well, sort of know that you've done a good job, know that you've covered kind of the day. And then also it just takes a bit of the pressure off editing.
The editing,
having to get it, because then they were like, "Oh, we want to see this, we want to see that," but they kind of get a bit of essentially a sneak peek of the day.
Sneak peek.
Make sure that you did your job essentially.
Yeah.
So if they don't hear from you for a few weeks, they're not sort of worried.
Yeah. Yeah. It's maybe we'll, I don't know, maybe I'll get you to bring that up later. We'll look through our sneak peek. Should we do that?
We can definitely do that.
Yeah, well, maybe we should. You know how we're going to have our photo competition.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just as a part-time photographer, Grant. That's perfect. Soon, working to be full-time.
Yes,
surely. Maybe we'll just as a pre-competition. Maybe we should just get Grant to vote on his favorite as we flick through them.
Yeah, well, we could. Because you don't even know what I cut out after. So when we just we put together a bit of a sneak. We both were just working remotely. Justin sent me his Lightroom catalog. I bought all those in, and then we started culling it down, but then Justin had to go. So I then culled it a bit further on my own, got a bit ruthless with some of Justin's images.
I was going to say, this is a concern, because if you've just deleted all of mine, it's you're obviously going to win the challenge.
No, good news, Justin from Emma and Tina. They did say thank you for your hard work in wrangling 140 guests for the sparkler photo, and they said that it was successful. Was their words?
Oh, that's good to hear, because it was. We'll have a look. I'll tell that story when we have a look at the photos later on. Because that sparkler, that was hectic.
I bet
it was definitely the most hectic one I've done. You might have done some without me recently that are kind of that, but it was a big group. No, I'll be very drunk. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Grant, how's your audio going? Are you back?
Is it any better?
I think so. How's it sound for you, Jim?
Yeah, I think you're all right.
It's all right.
If anyone's listening, throw a comment in the live chat. Tell us if Grant's audio sounds all right on the other side of the internet. On our side, it sounds okay, but it was a bit weird before. Mm. You're back. You're back from Japan. You've got blue lights.
Yeah.
Blue lights are cool.
Yeah. Upgrade. $50. DigiDirect.
Oh, DigiDirect. I don't like to buy from DigiDirect. Don't tell me this.
Next day shipping.
Oh, yes, they've got it in stock.
Sometimes they say it's in
stock.
I'll
make sure they're in stock.
And then 2 weeks later you ask where it is and they're like, "Oh no, that's not in stock." And you're like, "But I ordered it and it said in stock."
And it pays for express shipping.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I also got
that's happened like a lens times.
Cover too from them, like the back one.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure the Tamron lens that I brought from you, Justin, didn't have it on it.
Grant, I was going to say, I've got so many of them just floating around. Floating.
Three.
You know how many of those?
That's probably why it wasn't on there, Grant, because they're just floating around Justin's house.
No, I reckon I bought 6 of them like before I sold my gear just to replace everything. I'm surprised. I accidentally gave it to you mounted on the camera or something.
Yeah, I think you did because I used it.
Oh, yeah.
And then
it's probably here somewhere.
Just brought it straight from you. Yeah,
that's right. You should have told me.
It's like, I'm just getting prepared for when I want to sell.
Yeah. Selling cameras.
Sell. Yeah.
What are you buying?
Camera house.
Ha.
Nah, I don't know yet. I'm still a bit of a wild way.
So for anyone listening that doesn't know, our local camera house is for sale.
Yes.
And just been price reduced, so grab yourself a bargain.
It's a bargain. Join us in Bendigo. Run the camera house and we'll help grow your business. We'll support you. Grant will work there. Jim will be the resident pro. Just come in and do workshops and stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
The local Nikon ambassador.
That's right. Yeah. So speaking of Grant's new camera, that brings me to a news article that I saw. Let's bring it on. News.
What is it?
Canon rumors.
Oh.
Boom. So, Canon to release major firmware update for the EOS R5. They've done quite a few firmware updates, which has been fun. We've gotten lots of new cool stuff. It's a big change for Canon and even the other camera brands. Until Fuji did it, no one really used to do the firmware update thing.
Yeah.
Your camera didn't get new features, and now they do, which is awesome. But this, as interpreted by Canon rumors, who I think are pretty sweet, they're always usually onto it or pretty close, they're saying that because they're planning this major firmware update, that we might not see an R5 Mark II, because we just got the R6 Mark II recently, but we probably won't get the R5 Mark II until 2024. They're stretching the R5 itself out until with this firmware update, which is kind of cool. Means that my R5 is going to be worth more for longer. Means when Grant buys an R5, it's going to stay current for longer. It's great because they could just keep pumping out, you know, like a Mark II rapidly. I think they must have done it with the R6 because it really needed that new sensor. But did it get a new sensor? Yeah, the R6.
Yeah, it's got the same as the R3.
No, it's got 24 megapixel, but it's not backside illuminated, I don't think.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't have the shutter, electronic shutter isn't quite as stable in terms of rolling shutter and stuff. I think that's what the R3 has advantages. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But it's the same megapixel as the R3. I don't know. I could be wrong. Can't remember. But yeah, what it means is the R5 will stretch out for a little bit longer and remain a current model, which is awesome. So it might get the stuff the R6 Mark II got, like lens breathing correction, which I'm not a big... It doesn't worry me too much, but for video, it is nice. That's basically so it digitally corrects the image. You know, in focus breathing, when you go from far focus to near focus, the image might get smaller or larger.
Yeah.
Corrects for that digitally, so it doesn't look like your frame is changing as someone.
So it'd be like slightly cropped all the time. Or
yes,
something.
Yes, yeah. So it would probably give it a slight crop, and then it would adjust digitally as someone moves closer and further from the camera.
Yeah.
And also, I believe if you were zooming, it would potentially do the same thing. Not sure how that works.
Well, it's a good one for you.
The
vehicle tracking. Sorry.
Oh yes. So yeah, vehicle bikes, tracking trains, with bikes, trains, and planes. Mm. Removable.
How do you miss a plane though?
That's a good point.
They're pretty big.
Well, look, maybe in an air show, jet,
yeah, true,
might be handy. Yeah. It's kind of like birds in flight kind of deal.
Well, especially if it's just full auto tracking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not.
And the pre-shooting buffer, I haven't really worried about. I think I would have to change my shooting style, but that's basically like it will shoot some frames or something prior to actually pressing the button. Could be very handy for a wedding. You know, when you just miss the moment kind of thing, but also often by the time you press, if you missed it, it's probably because you didn't have the camera in the right spot.
Yeah.
You know, you were still moving to the shot. It wasn't because you didn't press the button fast enough, maybe. Anyway, I don't know.
So would that be, because obviously it's digitally recording, so is that with the AVF that it would be slightly... Yep. Just capturing,
I believe so. I didn't look into it a great deal with the Mark II, the R6 Mark II, but it's something like that. So for electronic shutter, it's capturing some frames all the time.
Yeah,
and then when you press the the shutter, it records those frames out of the buffer and onto the memory card.
Cool. Yeah, it could be interesting.
I mean, it's a common thing with video and some stuff, but I haven't seen it as much for stills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that could be cool. So the big news is probably the R5 Mark II isn't about to come out based on this. It's still a while away. They think maybe it will get released near the R1 next year, which I'll almost definitely be buying.
The R1.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of course.
Mm. Yeah, he's got to have everything.
Yeah, so on to our weekly Grant Fleming camera gear update. What brand this week would you be leaning towards if you had to pick a brand like right now?
Right now.
You got to, like, today you go full time tomorrow, and you go full time working for me tomorrow as a photographer / videographer, mostly photos. And you've got $30,000 to spend on gear. Which brand do you pick? 3, 2, 1, go.
Canon.
Oh,
I don't know what it is, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was looking into it. Then I don't know. I just can't get my head around Canon, and especially after using the R3 the other week, like Justin's R3.
Oh yeah, you haven't been on a podcast yet since then. Yeah, no, so
that blew my mind.
Yes, I did a bad thing. Grant was taking some photos at our gym during the CrossFit Open. If you don't do CrossFit, you should do CrossFit. At the CrossFit Open, and he was shooting with his D850, and I sneakily said, "Here, have a play with my R3 with the 28-70 f/2 on it."
And he learned this trick in car sales school, Grant, and he's a bad man. He's a bad man.
Well, I don't even sell it in the garage. I don't even sell cameras. I don't even sell them. I'm not trying to trick him. Anyway, how did it go? What did you think?
It was amazing. I never thought I'd like shooting, like holding the camera out in front of me, but I feel like you can see so much more as well.
Yeah, I have done way more of that lately than I ever thought I would as well. Like, I still have to remind myself to use the viewfinder when I really want to dial in on composition and stuff like that. It actually takes all the focus into that one point. But on the other hand, when there's action happening, you're in a busy room, there's a lot going on, things all around you, so your awareness sort of other situations becomes higher.
Yeah, you can look around, like I was shooting over here, and you know, like you could just know it was going to lock on eye focus, face focus.
Yeah.
And then you could be looking around and someone else would be like setting up to do, I think it was Max Thruster in the thing. Yeah. So I could be like, get ready to quickly turn. I think, yeah, that's like a major advantage, even for like weddings and stuff too, I reckon.
Yeah. I used it a fair bit on the wedding on the weekend, just like, especially during, the party, the dance floor was going on, stuff like that. Or yeah, just because you can see what's happening, you're holding the camera out in front of you and you can still look around and see everything.
Yeah.
Else. Yeah, it is handy. You do look a little bit like you're just shooting with an iPhone. You look a little bit less professional maybe, but also that's how every videographer shoots. So
yeah. Well, there was a lady at work. She had just an R, I think. And she was shooting for some stuff that we had at work. And she was obviously, you know, holding it like that. You kind of look like a beginner, I guess, because you're
for sure.
Oh, I'm looking on the back screen. But
it was.
If it works. You can also engage with people more, though, because you can talk over the camera but still be sort of shooting.
Yeah.
So for sort of directing, say, even like family photos and stuff like that, like it might be easier to sort of, if you're framed up, you can quickly look down but then still talk to them, because when your camera's in your face, it's quite hard to project your voice.
That's right.
So
what else was nice about it? Also, I think I don't know if your mic's doing weird stuff or not. Can you hear any of the every now and then, Jim, the little noises coming in and stuff? You haven't been
some like clickings?
No, just like some buzzing and something. I don't know. I think it might be Grant. I'm just gonna blame it on him.
I've got a fan on. Does that matter?
It could be the fan. I haven't heard it.
Do you want to try turn the fan off?
No, I don't know why I think it's Grant. Bring that. Where's your microphone? I can't see it. There it is. Print. Can you hear that, audience? Anyway.
It's you, Justin.
I don't know. It's doing weird stuff. Anyway.
Are your settings, Grant, onto the mic? Because mine was plugged in before, but it wasn't. The settings weren't picking it up.
No, like I haven't changed it at all.
No, in the the StreamYard settings. Then the.
While he's checking.
Have you seen the Nikon rumor, Justin?
No. Tell me about it.
Z8.
Oh yeah, I have. That was weeks ago. Catch up. No, I'm kidding. The Z8. What were they saying? High megapixel.
Somewhere between the Z7 and the Z9. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe not a pro body.
Nah. Well, like, but from the rumor photos, no. But like, they're just.
Well, they don't. Yeah.
That's doctored.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Tell me about the rumor. Tell me what they're saying.
They're just saying the Z8 was described to me as a hybrid camera between the Z7 and Z9, similar form factor to Z7, Z6. So yeah, it'd be smaller, not a pro body, improved EVF, improved autofocus, which they say on every camera ever. Same sensor. Oh, okay. Sorry. Same sensor as the Z9.
So same sensor in a non-gripped pro sort of form body, yeah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously they'll probably cut down on the features and speed a little bit like they usually do. Yeah.
Yeah. Will not have some of the Z9 features, brackets, yeah. Obviously. Expected before the summer, but this is European. So, coming months. So it could be out soon.
Interesting.
But that could be, maybe that's a good camera.
Could be.
Maybe that's the new wedding camera.
Maybe.
Buy that, some adapters.
Well, yeah, if you wanted to just shoot mirrorless but not change any lenses yet, yeah, you definitely could.
Yeah.
Keep one 850 and that.
It could be a good way to transition because then you know all your lenses.
That's
right. And you're just learning a new camera. You're not trying to learn new lenses and a new camera at the same time.
And a massive outlay.
Yeah, and you're spreading that outlay out as well. So, and you would get some native lenses, but maybe you don't have to get all.
It was tricky shooting two systems, but yeah. Like shooting mirrorless and DSLR at the same time was tricky.
You'd have to just buy two, I think. I think the only way to do it would be to buy two.
Potentially either to buy two or to go an 8 and a Z6 Mark II or something like that and start to kind of, which that also gets yuck.
But nah, two this body's got to be the same. I've done this.
Yeah. For the way you shoot, because you do so much two camera, same, with two prime lenses.
That'd be interesting. What else? Oh, I saw a funny, well, not funny, it's a bad story, a sad story. Justin, you would know of the sales techniques where they get you in for a free photo shoot.
I've seen this. I haven't seen this, so tell me about it. But yes, I do know. We talked about it a lot.
It was a current affair story. It popped up in a photography group, but essentially, you know, that old school, come in for a free, sort of that, you know, Verve. It wasn't Verve, but,
To Verve's defense, I don't think they do free. They do giveaways or something like that, but Verve do usually charge for the shoot and you get something. But the hard thing with Verve is they kind of then put the pressure on you to buy more.
Mm.
But so this was a fully free shoot.
Yeah, or I think, you know, they put an ad in, you're like, win a free shoot, and then
it was giveaway.
Everyone won. Everyone won. They come in for their shoot. And then, you know, they might have got a free image, and then they were trying to sign people. They're signing people up for like $5,000 worth of from one family shoot.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And like deleting people's photos like in front of them, like, oh, if you don't want this, we're just going to delete it. If you don't want it, we're just sort of pulling on their heartstrings.
And that pressure did used to get put on, even with the more reputable studios, that pressure did get put on that you can't come back and buy these later. We don't store them, kind of thing.
Yeah, which, we can't possibly do that, which is ridiculous because they definitely could.
Yeah,
we store wedding photos for years.
10 years. Yeah, and they're still sitting there, and weddings are a lot bigger than a family shoot. But it was obviously the tactic because people are there, they've just spent a heap of time and energy kind of doing the shoot, and they've seen the results. And if they go home to think about it, they'll probably make a more practical choice. Whereas if they're there on the spot, they might make a more impulsive choice. Yeah, it's a shame that that's how they operate. those businesses. On the other hand, say if that's the price that you say you do need to make $2,000 from a family shoot to make your studio profitable, which is possible because you got rent and all that sort of stuff in Melbourne or Sydney.
Big places.
Yeah. So it's just a shame that they can't just say that's the price and that a family that can afford it, obviously not just all families, but if there's a family that can afford it, they often wouldn't value a family shoot high enough off the bat that they only pay that when they sort of get tricked into it. It is a shame. We've often talked about it with how valuable, like, weddings are a shitload of work for a photographer, but in terms of value to the people, it's strange that it's no big deal to spend $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 on a wedding. But once people are married and they have kids, they probably wouldn't dream about spending $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 on, say, a photographer coming on their family holiday for a day and just documenting, like, you know, like a large family holiday with the grandparents and all that stuff and capturing all of that kind of cool thing. But they would definitely do it for the wedding because it's kind of got more of a, I don't know, it's like that. It's a tradition that you always do.
Yeah, social norm.
Social norm, that's what I was trying to think of, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Strange.
Maybe we should make it a social norm.
It could be done. But then it's just a little bit, it's a lot of work, and also you need families if you're gonna spend that kind of money, because it costs a lot of money to have a photographer for a full day or something. That they need to have the money. Toots and Co. I know
Toots
someone
and Co? Where,
no
Toots,
no
Toots Plus Co.
No, it's actually, Grant, we got to the bottom of this yesterday. It's actually Toots and Co.
Toots, Tootsies.
Toots, not Toots. It's Toots.
Toots and Co. I know someone where they were gifted the session and then got guilted into the purchase. Exactly. It was very common, and they don't want to miss out on those photos of their kids, you know, but
they probably also...
Yeah,
leaves a bad taste in their mouth from the photos.
Exactly, and then they've got the photos.
But then they're
not
going
to go back. You're not going to tell anyone to go there. You're not building a business. Clients.
Yeah,
you're churning people through, and they walk away feeling a bit disappointed. Completely worked with the photos can't be kept trick, and they loved what was taken, so spent $2,000 that they didn't plan to, and that's how the business gets their $2,000. Yeah. You know, it's a shame.
Yeah, but really not potentially not repeatable.
Yeah.
Well,
you
need to be in a major city. You couldn't do it in a small town because you would burn out the whole town in like 6 months and everyone would hate you. But in a major city, you can keep running different advertising campaigns where you win a session or whatever. And then, they just keep burning through clients. So, yeah, it is a real shame. That's not what you do if you want a long-term sustainable business. Sorry if that's the kind of business you run. Speaking of business, back to wedding photography. Jim, what do you think about this? Wedding photographer divides the internet with safety shot technique.
What is a safety shot?
I'll tell you. Blah, blah, blah. Went viral when he shared his safety shot tick. In the clip, Lowndes, currently watching an ad for something. Donuts. In the clip, Lowndes takes a group photograph of the bride and groom with their immediate family and their respective partners. After getting the group shot, Lowndes is heard saying, "Right, safety shot, step off for us, mate." And the photographer gestures towards the partner of the sister of the bride and asks him to step out of the frame. The group all had a laugh, and then the partner leaves a photo shoot. They get a shot, basically, with and without partners. Obviously, very controversial. Some people have said that that's a very rude thing to do to the poor partner that had to leave and get kicked out of a shot and stuff like that. Tell me, do you think, Jim, taking a shot with and without partners is an appropriate thing to do for a wedding?
I do this at every wedding.
You do. I do.
Now, but I don't call it a safety shot.
That's what I was going to say.
That's a normal
shot.
I do immediate family,
so sibling, like parents, siblings, and then... partners and kids, throw them in.
Now, I think the difference is that everyone said it's a bit, you know, he said it should be normal practice and blah, 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 which you think it is, because I agree. It's normal practice.
The hard thing is if, say, you've got four siblings, you're not going to throw each of one of them out at different times. So I just do one with partners, one without partners.
Correct. It's exactly how you should do it. Because, you can't do one without each partner one at a time, because that's very clear that you're like, well, we're just getting this for when you guys break up. But if as long as you get a shot with all of the siblings and and no partners, at least they've got that. If one partner, you know, ends up sort of moving on, and that does happen. But yeah, several users remarked they would cry if a wedding photographer asked them to leave the shot, and that there's better ways of handling the situation.
Yeah, that sounds like maybe he doesn't handle it the right way.
Yeah,
like just say family. I literally do that.
Yeah,
yeah, just immediate family, and then throw in like partners.
Yeah, and look, it's. I think he probably says it funnily, and it's probably fine because if he's got a funny kind of character to him, no one probably takes offense to it. But I think the way you handle it is way better. He also defended himself by saying he likes to bring everyone in and then slowly move them out, because that's the only way you can do it. I mean, we do it the other way.
Literally
we do it
both directions. Yeah.
Opposite way all day. So
build up, build down, it doesn't matter.
As much as he's probably a very experienced wedding photographer, if he can't build a photo as opposed to taking it out, then he should probably do some more practicing. Also, anyone that makes TikToks the way that he does is a little bit weird.
Is he just saying this though so people get annoyed?
Well, I don't know if he... Maybe he didn't think it was going to be as controversial as he did. He was probably just sharing a technique, and now it's blown up, and now he's obviously milking it by showing how you pull people out of the photo one by one. But it's like, you can easily build... Just as easily, if not easy. That's the word.
I find it significantly easier to build a shot.
He's built shots before and didn't realize that he was going to run into problems with space and stuff like that. But yeah, if you know what you're doing, you just build the shot up. You start with just the parents, then you bring in the siblings, then you bring in the partners, then you bring in all the cousins and all the aunties and all the stuff. You know, like it's very straightforward to do that. And if you do it that way, the partners don't even realize what you've done, because you go, parents, okay, bring in all your siblings. Okay, siblings, where are your partners? Bring them in. And they don't even know.
No, that's super easy.
So,
and then sometimes even do, like, and in the past I have done like married and unmarried partners. So if they're married, you might do all the married partners in. And if they're unmarried, then that's...
Yeah. But also it's one of those things. It's like, he probably says it in a funny way and it's no problem. Just like when we're arranging a group photo and I yell out if everyone can line up in order of importance from front to back, that would be great. And it's like, it's a meaningless comment, but maybe someone would be like, oh, does that mean we're not important? Or I don't know, maybe people take offense to it. So,
that's pretty funny. I don't think I've heard you say that.
I say it while you're on the ladder.
Oh, dear.
Because Jim usually takes a group photo if we're shooting a wedding together, and I usually just stand off to the side and every now and then yell something out. It's fun.
And then wait for my one joke.
Yes, Jim's one famous joke. We'll share it with you on an episode one day, but it's probably the biggest wedding photography secret we've got, so we can't give it out early on in our career as podcasters.
No,
and save it for a special...
Some IP day. We can't share.
Maybe on our 100th episode.
All right, 100th episode.
Maybe on a free wedding.
Hey, Grant. Hey, how did your Japan photos turn out? How was that? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was fun. A lot of early mornings.
To do photography or?
Yeah, and just get to places before they got too crowded.
Yeah.
Some places we probably didn't have to get there that early, but it was just nice to be there without so many people walking around. I probably had the right amount of gear. I wouldn't mind. I would have liked some filters maybe.
What did you end up taking?
So I took the 16 to 35, which I used once. So I didn't need to take that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Even in Tokyo.
Yeah. I've obviously got a different shooting style, because 24 to 70 served me perfect.
Interesting.
And took my tripod as well for like early mornings.
Did you use that?
I used it a couple of times, yeah. I got told off a few times for using it.
Really?
Just
whereabouts?
There's a few places like that. No tripod rules because it gets crowded.
Oh, and I suppose people could trip over.
Yeah, but when it was early morning, it was fine. It was sort of starting to get a little bit busy, and I was just like a local came past and just said no tripods, and I was like, that's fine, it's light enough anyway.
Let's have a look at some of your photos and let's talk through them, critique them. You can tell us about them. Tell us what was going on. What's this? This is a tram of some sort. I believe that's some sort of vehicle in Japan that they use to maneuver through traffic.
Yes. This is right after we got a photo with a Japanese guy on top of a bridge. So we were like basically on a overpass, like what you can see above that, on the other side. And that was in Nagasaki, and they don't get too many Westerners there. So the guy walking across the bridge.
He wanted a photo with you.
Yeah, me and Eilish. So he come up to us, he's like, where are you from? And then, they're talking for a bit. And he's like, do you mind taking a photo? And then he couldn't work out his buttons. So then he handed me the phone and we took a selfie with him. And then he's like, oh, where are you staying? And we're like, oh, this is getting a bit weird. So we didn't tell him where we were staying because if we watched too many movies like that.
Yeah. Good plan.
But apparently it's really common.
Really?
They're just being nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
But that was our first day. Oh, our first proper day there. So we're a bit like, we're not going to tell you where we're staying.
No. How long were you there all up?
Japan was 22 days. 22 days.
Yeah.
It's a good amount of time.
Yeah, it was just the right amount of time, I think. Yeah. I think that was the 16 to 35 there.
A little bit of vignetting on that one.
Mm.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. And then that,
old. Lots of old temples.
Mm. Mm. A lot.
Man on motorbike.
Yeah. That was taken from inside a coffee shop. As you can probably tell, it's like shot out of a window.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Is it like a bag or something on the back?
Yeah.
That's cool. Man on very small motorbike.
Yeah, there was a lot of them around. Pretty cool.
That's sick. We've got hello to all our viewers too. New ones.
Oh, yeah. Got a few viewers.
Hey, any questions?
Jump in the chat. Just having a quick look through Grant's Japan images. And then maybe we'll have a look through the sneak peek, the wedding that Jim and I shot on the weekend. But currently looking at a beautiful night shot of a bus.
There's a few there.
Kyoto?
Yeah. That was when we were doing our laundry. I went for a bit of a walk.
Left Eilish to do the laundry?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So pretty much everything shot with the 24 to 70?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
From now on.
Hey, it's a reel we made.
Yeah. Really? I was like, this is weird.
If you could have any lens over there, like anything, just what would suit best, you know?
24 to 105. I would have liked that.
Even if it was an F4 though? Even if it was an F4?
That's... I probably would have shot with a tripod for a little bit longer, but yeah.
Yeah. So if you had a camera system that maybe used that new, what if it had the Tamron 35 to 150, maybe not wide enough, 35?
Oh, 35. I reckon I shot it probably 35 onwards.
Okay.
I don't think I shot at 24 very often. Maybe there I would have just to be able to get that in.
Yeah. Was this sort of your first few days? Was this the first day at the snow? Or
that would have been our last day on the snow, I think.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I would have liked that extra little bit of reach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you snowboard down that face or were you just watching?
Nah, people were hiking for like 2 hours to get to that.
So worth it. Worth it.
Did that come back into the resort?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Snow monkeys. Now, that's this cool. Is some classic Japan. Is this where you would have liked some more reach as well?
You can get pretty close to them. So probably not.
Look at that.
Yeah. Cool. And what you don't see is the hundreds of people probably 1 meter to the left of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so really? You had to frame people out.
Yeah.
So good. Snow monkey yeah. launching into the water.
He was pissing everyone off, that guy.
Yeah.
Just running around, pulling on their ears and stuff. It was pretty cool to watch.
On humans and it's or cool. other monkeys?
Nah, other monkeys, they don't like okay. touch humans. Like they're pretty, like, because they don't get fed. There's a real big thing about not feeding them.
Yeah.
They sort of just like walk past you like you're not there, which is cool.
Yeah. So if you, would you recommend everyone go and check this out? Was it touristy or was it cool?
It was touristy. There was a lot of people, but it's just like a once in a lifetime thing you can do.
Yeah.
We went on a tour. We were up there quick and then we sort of just seen them. And once you've seen them and you didn't want to stand around too much and the crowds were pretty, they kept getting bigger and bigger. So we sort of started walking back down.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
Where was
and that? It was snowing pretty heavy too then.
Near Nagano?
Yeah, so it was an hour from Hakuba. So we just done a day tour from there.
Yep.
Cool.
Nice. What do we got next? Where are we? Oh, Tokyo.
Yeah.
How did you like Tokyo for photography?
It was cool, but I wasn't a fan of Tokyo, like being the end of the trip. Yeah, being the end of the trip, we were like, I don't know, it was just so busy. I'm not big with crowds.
Yeah.
And where we were staying, I don't know, I feel like Shinjuku and Shibuya, all the rest of it, they just feel like that's the first time we felt unsafe in Japan.
Yeah.
Walking around those shopping districts.
Were you getting hassled at all?
Nah, but we obviously ended up in like some areas and it was just like, you know, bars, strippers.
Yeah.
People standing out the front sort of like looking at you and you're like, oh yeah, it doesn't feel right.
There's a certain amount of, if you drink a certain amount of alcohol and if the people you're with are over a certain height, it all just looks like pretty lights and you forget about all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think Jim and I might have drank too much when we were there. We did not even give it a second thought until the next day. And we were like, oh, man, we could have been in trouble last night.
I've heard of stories like people getting, you know, they go into a bar, have a few drinks, and then they don't get let out until they pay their tab of $1,000 or.
Yeah. That unfortunately is fairly common, particularly in Roppongi, I think, is one of the suburbs that's pretty popular for it. But I think that is creeping into Shinjuku and Shibuya as well. But if you're in the popular areas, it's probably pretty unlikely. But, depending on what street you wander to, you might not realize that you're in a... Yeah.
I think our first year in 2016, it was completely harmless. It seemed harmless. And then the second year, it was like a different world.
Yeah.
It was...
Snowy real.
Not real.
Yeah. Just a bit more photos. And all the restaurants now have like plastic around them, like at the front. So, you know, like at the Italian restaurant on View Street.
Oh, yeah.
They've got all that around the restaurants, like the street restaurants. So you can't even do like...
Why?
Obviously COVID. You have to wear a mask everywhere. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know if that would keep... Does that keep COVID out or keep it in?
I don't know.
If you're going to a restaurant, would you really want plastic all around it? Or wouldn't it be better to have the fresh air blowing through?
So then you couldn't really like do street photography if you're trying to get photos of that as well. Like it's sort of, kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Nagasaki that was when I was on the Hiroshima are must-sees in Japan.
I've got Hiroshima.
Was where I was when I was on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And were they your favorite places to visit in Japan?
They're pretty up there. Just a lot quieter. Probably Hiroshima was probably the best and Kyoto was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've got some settings here.
Yeah, I've changed it up a bit. Yeah,
I like this. Okay, so your poster's got a little bit more of a story. We've got D850 Tamron 24-70 2.8 using your carbon fiber waterproof tripod, no filters, f6.2 2 seconds ISO 64 at 35 millimeters. Rob Wanders says, "Nice one, mate." I miss this place. Yeah, very nice. Thanks. Is that a cool place to visit?
Yeah, it was basically just that. It went for probably 100, 200 meters. Oh. And we were there pretty early, and then it started getting busy.
Yeah, that's pretty epic.
Getting the Mount Fuji reflection. This is a nice photo.
Mm. Yeah, this is probably my favorite shot.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
I started melting on the lake, causing water to move, and then the boat started, you could, so you lost. Yeah, okay.
You could hear the ice just starting to like crack, and then as soon as you like heard it, the water just started like rippling.
So is the ice like, the bit that's sort of further out, that's the ice, like where it's not a clear reflection?
I don't know, but it was sort of like there was ice like where I was standing.
Oh, okay.
And then it started rippling, and then it just started melting, and then the boat started, which ruined everything.
And that was 25-second exposure, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been
3.2.
Yeah.
One day we'll have to check out a big version of that. Maybe zoom in.
Yeah.
See what it's like. Mm. It looks good. It's a nice photo. Mm. How much editing did you have to do to get it to look the way you want it to?
I didn't really touch much besides the buildings on the left, the very left, where they're like more white. Mm-hmm. They were like, I can't remember what color they were, but I had to dial them back a little bit because it just sort of took your eye away.
Yeah. And this is a square crop. Like, is that how you would finish this photo, or is that just for Instagram? Like, what would you do if you were to put it in your house or something?
No, I would have the wide version in there. I think it's just more for Instagram.
The old square crop.
Yeah, it fills up the page a bit more, you know, so more ruins. Chance of a like, but obviously didn't do that well.
Ruins compositions.
I don't know why. It's a cool photo.
Yeah, it is a cool photo.
Yeah. This is where I got told off for the tripod.
Oh, yeah. And you still tagged the tripod in your...
Because I used it. I was still using it.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. That's like a photo that you would put in like an Airbnb, you know, on the wall or something. But if that had a person in it, that would be cool as.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
add them in.
Maybe if it had like a photographer walking away with a camera over their shoulder, just wandering down the middle there. That's the photo.
Nice.
Maybe we should go back, and that could be a marketing photo for Lucky. If you don't have,
gotta get there early.
If you don't have a camera strap, or if you're using the stock camera strap that come with your camera, I suggest you head to luckystraps.com and check it out. Best camera straps on the planet. But seriously, that shot would be cool if someone was wandering down, or maybe like a couple wandering down. Or, I don't know, something. It's very cool.
I did mention Lucky Straps on Japanese news as well, Justin.
Ah, yeah, you mentioned. That's pretty cool.
Mm.
I didn't see a big spike in sales, unfortunately.
No, I don't even know if we made it onto the cut.
They probably cut you out.
Yeah, most likely.
So you're happy? Mm. Happy with the photos that you got? Have you still got more to go through and post?
There's a few more, but... I don't know. They could always be better.
Yeah.
Would be nice to, because you only got the conditions that you have. Like, I couldn't keep dragging Eilish back to the same spot multiple times, which was what I would normally do.
Yeah. Just keep making her get up early sunrise.
Yeah. Early days. Long days. We're doing about 30,000 steps a day.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be fit.
Far from it.
Lots of beer.
Yeah, did you drink lots of Japanese beer?
Yeah, and then the strongs, you know, the 196s. They're like $2.
That's a problem. Are they in vending machines over there now?
I think so, but we'll just get them from the like the Lawsons.
Yeah.
They're tasty.
They are, and they're 9%. Have one and you're done.
Don't dangerous, dangerous. if you're listening, people, don't drink that stuff.
No,
it's not good.
It's bad. It's good.
What else you guys want to talk about today?
I don't know. Have a look at the wedding.
Well, we can. I guess we just looked at Grant's photos. Yeah, let's whip it up.
Yeah.
If you see a photo that you think is amazing, Grant, you just yell out. We won't tell you who took it.
I have to share my screen, I know, to get that.
Yeah, it's probably the easiest way. And then you can make Lightroom full screen, potentially. You can make the photos full screen if they're in a different screen.
Where? Oh.
I got to buy one of those media mod things for the GoPro to take over.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it. I'm going to buy one of them to take over to Tasmania. I think Yelena and I are going to attempt to make a Tasmania video and just see how painful it is to be like travel video people.
Yeah. When you go to Tassie?
1 week and 3 days.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. So Yelena got a new bike today. She got a new e-bike.
Looks very fancy.
It is very fancy. And so Yelena's got a new e-bike and I've got a new e-bike. So we'll be taking 4 bikes over. We'll be doing adventures. We're going to go to our first mountain bike race. And we've just booked in for a thing called the Heckle Fest, where they take us around to all the best like viewing locations for the race on the main race day. And no, everyone as a group heckles the riders, which I'm quite excited about.
That sounds fun.
You'll be good at that.
Yeah. So I'll get some photos and video from that. But otherwise, yeah, we'll start making a video and we'll stop as soon as we're like, this sucks. And we'll just see. We'll see what it's like.
See how far you get.
Don't put that screen there, Jim.
Well, I can't see you.
You don't need to see me. We'll just look at the photos.
Also, before you start, Jim, maybe start of May, if we're not all busy, we could go to Bright and do a photo comp there.
You know what we should do? So, okay, that's a good point. So one thing, we should go to Bright as a team and maybe have a photo, an autumn photo challenge.
Yep.
Right? Maybe. Case. Maybe with mystery cameras. We'll see.
I could maybe rustle up something by then.
No. What do you mean? A camera or what?
Yeah. Oh, you mean you're just going to pick some random cameras?
I mean, I'm going to pick random cameras. Ooh. I'm going to get someone else to package them in boxes and we won't know what we're getting until we undo our box. And that's when the timer starts. And if your battery's flat, too bad.
Are you talking film cameras or?
It could be anything.
Okay.
We'll see. That could be. We definitely should do that. We should, and then, oh no, maybe we'll even do our first camera life meetup over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if May's like start of May would be peak time autumn.
Prime autumn time. Yeah, we should try and do it. Lucky's actually supporting a, I'll see if I can find the details. I thought you might want to go, Jim. There's Lucky's.
Yeah,
supporting...
Last we chatted, you were going to get back.
I'll scope it out. But yeah, there's like a wedding. It's at Hotham though. I think it's in late May. I'll have to double check.
Have you done that before?
Yes. Yeah, but it's a different group organizing it, but there's some of the same speakers and stuff. Yeah, cool. So similar kind of thing. But yeah, like a wedding and elopement photographers workshop. Up on Hotham sometime in May. Cool. So,
do you need a place to stay?
Maybe. Although, I didn't even think about that.
That'd be handy.
Yeah. Maybe I'll talk to him, Jim, because if we have somewhere to stay.
Yeah. We're even less of a burden.
Yeah, we're not much of a burden at all. Although getting from dinner plane to Hotham and back.
Do they run buses that time of year or not? Not at that time of year. No.
Not in May.
Just drive.
You can drive. Okay. Anyway, let's get back on topic. There's probably two listeners that are very bored. Sorry, guys.
Yes.
So this is the sneak peek. So is this what you delivered to the guy?
Yeah. So you wouldn't have seen everything that got cut. So do you want me to just click through? I can't see either of you two at the moment either.
That's okay. So... We'll tell you if we're unhappy with you. You don't have to. You don't have to use our body language. So yeah, if you just click through and Grant, you just tell us if you see something that's either amazing or if you see a flaw in our photos, you tell them. You tell us.
Hmm.
Slow down, Jim. Don't. Send speed past. Got to give him time to be like, that's amazing, or wow, what? Why did you crop her out, or something like that.
No, I don't reckon you'll be doing that. You guys are professionals.
Yeah.
Is that your favorite venue?
It's definitely our... yeah, it would have to be, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
most favorite for the people that are there and the fact that it's like, you know, 3 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
Which
pretty, you know.
Oh, that's another thing we need to talk about is AI culling. Because we both attempted AI.
We did it. Yeah, we did do it.
Just so we used Imogen AI to attempt to cull this wedding. Go back a couple of photos, Jim, to the first kisses. And this in particular, my first kiss, which I won't tell you which one it is. Grant can try and tell us who did what.
I can. Is that you there, Justin?
I don't want to say. You tell me if it is or not. My first kiss, the AI did not pick the kiss. So the AI culling from Imogen AI, it picked them just standing next to each other, not the photo when they kissed. And I'm guessing that's because it could see like eyes and faces and stuff.
Yeah, but and probably similarities, and it probably picked up those other ones.
Yeah,
maybe.
But obviously that's an issue because it's like if you choose AI culling for a wedding, and doesn't pick up the first kiss, like what else is it going to miss? So that's the first thing that put doubt into my mind about the culling. But their culling is currently free and it's like in beta testing or whatever, even though all users can do it. So anyway, you just stop anytime you see something that you like, Grant. You just tell us.
I'm just looking.
Just looking. So this is a group photo.
Yeah.
That's a family photo. That's
obviously Jim.
No.
Which one? Jim took the group photo.
I took that one. That's why everyone's laughing. Looking happy.
He used his secret trick for that one.
Yeah,
it's a family photo. We usually always put a family photo in the sneak peek because it's a pretty common one they want to post to social media.
Yeah.
After the first, couple of days.
Yeah. And we also, like we've said in the past, keep it simple. People in one line, you can see everyone. There's no one hiding. It's just, nice and easy. We always bang out like the essential shots. So this was Emma and her girls, Emma and Tina together. Then both of them together with their girls. And then we normally say something funny. Or ask them to do something and then see what the reaction is.
What did you ask them to do for this particular photo, Jim?
For this one, I said, I want everyone to look at their favorite member of the bridal party, which always gets mixed results. Sometimes people say, I can't look at myself. Sometimes people look at, it might be the people out on the end and they'll, like these two will look at each other. The girls obviously... all love these two, so they all looked in there, which was great. It worked well. But it normally gets people smiling. It's just an easy way to get a bit of something happening. And then Tina with her girls, and then the girls wanted to play cricket, so we did it.
Action shots. Were you both there taking photos then?
We sure were.
Both up at each end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are a mixture of all of those. So they made this little step for Tina. She's a little bit shorter than Emma, which was fun.
It was fun. Yeah, they had a lot of fun with that through the day, which is good. There was quite a few jokes made.
Oh.
Well, we need to talk because it's a podcast. Yeah. Not everyone else is watching these photos, but if they are, I appreciate them.
Okay.
Drop a comment below which photo you think is the nicest.
Pull the drone out.
I did whip the drone out. So they had all these lawn games, which they were pretty keen on. And we wanted to get some shots of the bridal party playing the lawn games because the couple wanted to get back to the lawn instead of spending the whole time doing photos. So we actually had a pretty short time to take photos with them. We did those cricket shots and went for a little walk. Hey, get rid of the walking shots. I like those.
No, they were in here.
Were they? Oh, yeah. No, I like that one. Yeah, that's okay. Just that one.
Heaps of
you
just shots.
You breeze past them so fast.
Oh, really, you obviously weren't looking. You weren't looking, obviously.
So I, well, like Jim was actually in this photo, but I got rid of him. He was sort of covering those shots.
Amazing. Yeah,
right near the spike ball net. So I was like, it didn't need two of us to be on the lawn. Yeah, you know, we already
to the right of the spike ball net.
Yeah.
Where that circle is?
I don't think so.
No? All right.
I can't see a circle in mine.
Yeah, that's right. You try and spot my removal.
I thought it was here, to be fair.
I used... no, it's not there.
No, a little bit down?
No, I don't know. You won't be able to tell.
Yeah. I used Lightroom's AI healing tool, which is confusing.
Like it's there, though.
Sick of people putting AI labels on everything, but...
Are you sure it's not there, Justin?
Bottom left of that.
No, yeah, Grant's closer. Oh, look, I'm confused now. I can show you guys
left.
In a minute.
I reckon if you make to your left a little bit.
I'll show you guys in a minute once we're...
Nah, too far in between that. Yeah, where the mouse is kind of there.
I'll show you because I also want to show you the masking.
Yeah, okay.
Have you used the masking lately in Lightrooms?
Yeah. It doesn't pick up anything.
With the people selection?
Yeah. Subject selection, sky selection.
No, people selection.
I'll
show you guys.
Maybe I haven't used the people one.
Yeah, I'll show you in a minute. Yeah, anyway, keep going. I'll show you.
Yeah. Justin was shooting with the drone. I was doing some from up above.
Yeah, the drone wasn't necessary. It was just to see if I got something different. And it did add a little something, but it certainly wasn't essential. I would definitely not do that if I was shooting the wedding by myself. Like it wasn't needed. It's too slow. And but it adds something to the day if you've got time.
Probably could have cropped that one.
Yeah. So I shot that, Grant, with... so I put an external flash. So I put my Godox flash trigger on the camera. And then I put my external speed light on an Insta360 selfie stick. And so I was holding the selfie stick like up above me and then trying to point it at them, but from a high enough angle that it gave a bit of like direction to the light instead of being like on camera flash. Cause it's really dark in there, even during the day.
It's super dark.
And the light's not, it's not just dark. There's no lighting direction. Like obviously you got a little bit of light coming through that window, but that's it. Their faces would be all dark and it's never good. It kind of worked. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, tough going. And the same with that one. So the flash is coming from my left across the frame and hitting that wall and them a little bit, because otherwise they would be as dark as the left of the frame, basically. It worked out all right, but it was kind of hit and miss because it depended where I happened to be pointing the flash.
Yeah, there's lots of room for error, for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
I was actually shooting these little lights here are my... Godox lights at the back of the room, which worked really, really well until everyone stood up, and then they didn't work that well. So then we took them out for sunset. So this is sort of pre-sunset, which actually like pulled a fair bit of temp out of these. They were pretty, there's a fair bit of orange light coming through the sky. And some,
at least this time of year, like this shot's early, like because the light's getting like it's getting darker quicker.
Well, this was 8 o'clock. It's still pretty reasonably late, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not 9, I guess. But yeah, it starts to get a bit easier. It's
a good time, I think. It's like after, it's when it's around that dinner time that it's tough.
Yeah, and people are like, they're not over it. Sort of like, they're like, why do we want to go out there? That's cool. Yeah, they're cool.
So they really wanted their little sign incorporated somehow.
Yeah.
So we kept that in. Some front bokeh.
Oh, you got rid of the different one.
Yeah, I decided that I liked this one more. I think it was the boxes.
Yeah, that's not the one.
Near the boxes. Yeah.
That, blocks that, the boxes.
Yeah. Some dance floor action. And Justin, is this again with your off-camera flash on the stick?
Yeah, yep. Everything that I shot on the dance floor was with the off-camera flash on the stick as well. I varied the stick height because the shorter the stick height, the easier it was to control the direction. But see the shadow from the bride's arm? See, there's direction, whereas if that was on camera, you would not see that shadow. And it doesn't do much, but it definitely adds depth to the image that you don't normally get when you use on-camera flash. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But it does also, it introduces a potential point of failure because there were a couple of photos where I just missed the direction by a little bit because all you have to do is twist your wrist a bit and you're shooting, the flash is sort of firing the wrong whole direction.
Yeah.
So it was a learning experience, but I liked it. It was fun.
Mm. If the dance was super crazy, it's hard, a lot harder because you can't be sort of just whipping around as fast.
Oh, I disagree a little bit though, because the fact that when it was crazy, you know, when people get really close to the camera, but you're actually trying to get the subject past them, but you blow their head off with the flash and then you've got this bright row of heads in the front row of the photo. Yeah. So I don't know if are there any other dance floor ones in there? If you go,
nah, that's it.
There wasn't one before that. Oh yeah. See that one. So normally the heads of that row of people would be quite bright, but because the flash is so far away from them, they're evenly exposed the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest advantage when the dance floor is crowded to using that technique. But the downside is, you look like a weirdo and then you accidentally leave your selfie stick at the venue and now I had to order a new selfie stick today.
Oh, did you message Glenn?
No, I don't. I didn't have time, and I was just like, I need another one. Hopefully, before I go to Tasmania, so I ordered one. If I end up with two, it's probably good to have a backup anyway. So
yeah, sweet.
Let's see what happens.
Cool. What? Anything you want to look at again? Or are we all good?
Oh, Grant,
that's a fair bit of editing, though. Like, if I was to do a sneak peek,
Yeah, there was two of us there though. That's two photographers. Two photographers. Like that's our premium, photography package.
Does that mean you edited them as well, Justin?
Yeah, I edited my photos and Jim edited his. Yeah.
So if for any
not too bad then.
Keen eyes that are looking on the stream, Justin sent me a set of JPEGs that were edited. So that's why it does look like here. In the develop
that I've done, that Jim's done nothing.
That photo was just perfect.
That's how it comes straight out of camera. Every one of my shots, that's exactly.
No one can know our settings.
That's just raw.
Canon mirrorless. There you go. I should have picked that up. There we go. That's Jim's
so photo. If you go back to the sunset photos, Jim, I'll just show Grant the one that I did that I'm quite happy with that I wouldn't normally do. So that's a pretty normal shot.
Go
that one as well. Like they're pretty similar to what we would normally do. That's very similar to how I would normally do sunset. That's different to how I would normally do sunset. Mm-hmm. So instead of the backlight being behind them, so we're using two lights, one high up on a softbox, high up in front, and then one
over here this direction.
Yeah, and then one usually directly behind them. So if you go like that, it's over and that's directly behind them, there's a light and then there's a light in front as well. So instead when that other photo was taken, Jim, I think, was still shooting straight on.
Yes. Yeah.
And I pivoted around. So the front flash is to my right, and the rear flash, instead of being directly behind them, is to the left of the frame. It looks like sun rays.
That's pulling that in.
Yeah, that's the rear flash with an orange gel on it. And that wasn't really a plan. I just did that because I was like, well, let's see if that works. And it worked better than I thought.
Yeah, it works pretty well.
It looks like sun. Like, it looks cool.
It does.
And it was also gelled.
Yeah.
So it had orange CT on it.
So it's got an orange gel, and it is coming from the direction of the sun too. The sun had actually just set, I think. So the sun had already gone, which is why the flash has enough power to look like sun. But it's coming from the same direction, which probably helps.
Yeah, it works. Yeah.
Yep. Elaine is asking, would you do it again? I'm not sure what...
The photo.
Well, I don't know whether she's talking about that photo or the dance floor photos with the stick. I don't know how behind... Oh, a two-photographer wedding with Jim, that is. I do have another one coming up later this year. So, yes, I am doing it again.
Yeah, we'll do it again for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she did mean the photo. Yes, I would do it again. I'm pretty happy with how it turned out. It's not a normal way of setting it up.
That'd be the normal way.
I could attempt to set it up again and it possibly would not work. I don't know. It
looks nice.
Yeah, just including a little bit of backlight. Yeah. But that, unfortunately, as cool as it is, a photographer will look at that and go, well, that's not the sun because there's trees above it.
Could it have been a dam there? Like, that's what I thought instantly.
Bit of reflection? Like, yeah.
Yeah, reflection, but obviously it's past.
You never know. And they won't care. They're going to look at it and go, cool, photo. You know, like, they're not going to overanalyze it or whatever. But yeah, that's a not a real light, so...
I got rid of the crickets too, Justin.
Did you?
Yeah.
I owe you a beer. I spent so much time worrying about like how to edit this photo. I actually played around with it's actually a different color profile and preset than every other photo in here because it had different colors. It was quite unique. Anyway, I forgot that her dress was full of... Or their dresses really were full of crickets. They kept these little.
Yeah. Oh wow!
So Jim's gone and edited them all for me, which was quite nice.
I don't know if you can.
It would have been 20 in there easily.
Yeah, can you guys see that?
Oh yeah,
yeah. So that's the sort of thing that on Instagram you could probably get away with not doing that, but
compressed so much.
The couple knew they had crickets in their dresses. They mentioned it a few times. Yeah. They weren't super keen on it. So if they see one, it's like instead of seeing this nice sunset image they took, they might see, oh, they're those crickets in my dress.
Mm.
Just thinking
about the crickets.
Thanks, Jim.
That's okay. I appreciate it. The wedding I finished editing yesterday, Beth and Nick's, there was a lot, so many flies.
Yeah.
Like in every photo.
Yeah, that was a particularly brutal day for flies.
Yeah, and like the location and everything, it was a lot of flies. But that's sort of, you win some, you lose some. Sometimes there's zero flies.
Yeah.
So it just sort of balances out.
Cool. No favorites, Grant? You don't want to commit to which photographer's better at this point? You can reserve your judgment for later. That's fine.
Yeah, well, next one. And now that you've pointed out the whole JPEG Nikon thing, that's all I'm looking at.
Yeah. Oh, so now you know which one's which.
Yeah, I was trying to pick up like who wrote it different. I didn't see the NEF and the JPEG at the end.
I'll share this in a second, Jimbo, and show you, or when you're done, I'll show you this subject detection.
Yeah, I was going to show, do you want to quickly, so to give you an idea of the culling, Grant?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So everything that's green was picked as a definite. So,
yeah.
What Imagine AI would class as a 5-star. I've changed the star so I could star rate it myself. So anything that's green, it definitely picked and said you definitely needed.
How many of the greens were there?
How many greens total? There was 700.
Interesting. Which is more than normal, more than you would normally want.
Yeah.
But in theory, if it knew that, if they were right, that would be great because you could just go through and trim that down a little bit and that's perfect.
Yeah, Callum threw 700 instead of 7,000. Yeah. Pretty good.
If you knew they were right.
Maybe something's gone wrong. Because some what? Red ones are...
What was yellow supposed to be?
So yellow was supposed to be 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
So probably need.
Yep.
And then red was supposed to be duplicates, but I think it's... I've got my camera in front of the thing.
Yeah, so
I think it somehow picked up all of them, so that doesn't sound right. I might have made an error when I was converting the colors, but the yellows and the greens are definitely what it selected. So anything that's starred is so of its 700.
Mm-hmm.
What did I pick? I picked 180.
Of the 700 that it said were definite.
Yeah.
So did you, when you went through and did your pass, you didn't look at the colors at all. You were just looking at like, do I want this photo or not?
Sometimes like I might've gone through and been like, there might've been two of that. And then I might've picked that one, and not because it was just because I was more interested. And I was like, well, if they're kind of same, I want to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because sometimes if you've got 3 photos and they're all identical, it might have picked one and you might have picked one, and it might look like a different one, and it might look like you've picked a different one, but really they were both basically the same. You just took multiple frames of the same shot. But if you were kind of defaulting to what it picked when there were a few options, then that's not great. 180 out of 700 isn't a great hit rate for the old artificial intelligence.
No, I definitely didn't. I guess you sort of said that it hadn't picked your first kiss. So I was like, no, I'm just going to color it like normal, and then I'll work it out afterwards how it did, rather than try and do it from the start.
Yeah,
I'll just color it like normal and then kind of work from there. So yeah, anything that's green, it definitely picked. Anything that's yellow, it picked and said, probably look at this. And then the reds are
no
good. I think it said just duplicates, but.
Yeah,
like you know, these are all red. Like these are all moments, and this has had a one pass over it. So you know, there is some duplicates that like you don't need 3 of them.
No. Yeah,
so I'll cull some of them out.
So far AI culling through Imagine AI not going great. I'll show you today though.
Like it's only going to get better.
In theory, it should slowly get more intelligent.
Yes.
And then eventually take over the world. Right. I'm going to share my screen and show you this. I don't know if you would have used it or not, because I hadn't used it. So I'm in the select mask, and you would normally click on subject.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you would do it, or sky or whatever.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Yeah, down
person
the bottom.
One, person two.
Yeah.
This one,
whoa.
this one. So check this. Boom. Entire person, face, body, skin, eyebrows.
Whoa.
And this is from a fair way away. Like if this is a headshot, that works way better.
That's insane.
So are you picking up what I'm putting down? Like how much better this has got? So
we go accidentally full body. Bumped something and it was like picking up all these people and I'm like, I don't need... It wasn't this, but it was something similar, like showing me all the heads.
This face tracking. Yeah, that's that's somewhere else. But like, is there somewhere where I've got some like a close up face? What have I got here? Nothing really. But here we go. Let's see if it works on this. Maybe create mask. Select people. Detecting people. Person one, select person one, face skin, skin, eyebrows, eyes, iris and pupil, lips, teeth, hair.
That's insane.
Go to an outside one for me.
Okay.
So like,
I'm glad I'm here to show you guys what the dealio is.
Because since I've been back from Japan, if I was to click on sky, like it just... doesn't do anything. like it'll just select nearly the whole screen.
Have you updated everything? Because check this out. Sure. It's nighttime.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with mine then.
I like to do some creative editing and just get shit.
Like HDR.
That is how it looked. I do remember the
purple. Yeah, I remember how purple it was. It was awesome.
Wow.
But even, yeah, I'd like subject and it would select most of the screen.
It almost does look better, Justin.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. So can I get a thanks for picking up on the old...
Yeah, that's cool.
The old... This was the AI Skin Smooth mask from... the Ektar... the Maston Labs founder thing that I
preset.
Bought. Yeah. Preset that does Skin Smooth. That was done in one selection. So basically you click one button and it selects that what there and smooths it. Yelena says, I don't understand what you're showing us on the people. Yeah.
So the red bits that Justin's highlighting when he was rolling through, that was a selection that he could then adjust locally. So he could locally adjust teeth, just the lips, do something different with the skin, something different with the eyes. Like so you probably need to do like a crazy edit.
Having to go through yourself and paint it all.
Let me bring this up and let me do it on color.
Yeah. So.
And let me put something like that on there and then do this. So now we're going to select the face skin.
Yeah.
And we'll create a mask for that. And we're going to make that blue. Look, so what you would normally use this for is to maybe smooth the skin out a little bit by it's already got skin smoothing on it. So you can see there, not smooth, super smooth. Somewhere in there, you'd have skin smoothing applied. And then we go create another mask. But this one, we go select people, person one, and let's go with eyebrows.
Yeah.
Create a mask for eyebrows.
And you later said, I guess I just don't know. What we normally do to be amazed by this feature. So normally we would either have to use a brush.
Is she telling me that this isn't amazing? Look at those eyebrows.
You'd normally have to use your mouse and select the whole face,
either brush it in manually, like a sort of in each section, they did bring in the auto kind of, it picked up similar colors. So you could do one click over their whole face and it would kind of work, but it wouldn't do like things like eyebrows and teeth would all be individually localized.
You would have to manually brush it with your mouse. Yeah. With a small round. To grab these lips and go create mask and like to do a serious, like a potentially serious edit.
Do you think this is going to make editing longer because you're going to be more?
No, it's going to make it faster for someone that might use Photoshop to be able to just use Lightroom and just mask things really rapidly. It might tempt photographers like us to maybe do a little bit more to some photos than we normally would because it's so quick. But if you're doing this kind of stuff, it's going to speed your workflow up. If you're not doing this stuff, then just pretend it doesn't exist or use it when you want. It'll be real fast. But I don't think it's going to make what we do slower. It's just going to give us fast options if we want to use them.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't take photos. We almost never take photos into Photoshop to do this kind of stuff.
I don't think we ever have for that. Like it's only ever sometimes to get rid of something we can't get rid of. Can't get rid of in Lightroom. But if we can't get rid of it in Lightroom, it's probably not worth getting rid of.
Well, maybe
face swap, but that's very, very rare.
Yeah, and this isn't really getting rid of stuff. This is more like, if you
adjusting.
Wanted to lighten up the eyes just a little bit, like so that, you know, maybe that.
You used to just brush that in, and then so that was instead of being six clicks, it was three clicks, and then you're rubbing.
Yeah.
you know, and then however long it takes you to just brush in the eye, really zoomed in, intricate work. Whereas,
yeah,
it's literally selecting for you. It's, yeah, it's going to make it a lot easier.
Yep.
That's cool. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, well.
Thanks, Elena, for the questions, because that probably helped us all work through it a little bit as well. Exactly what it's doing.
It's a cool feature. They keep rolling out new stuff. Yeah, I think AI editing tools definitely seem a lot more useful and a lot more powerful to me than AI editing itself, as in done for you versus here's a really powerful tool that speeds things up.
Yep.
That's where I see the value of that sort of stuff at the moment, as opposed to AI culling and that kind of thing.
We'll have cricket and fly selection soon, or
I bet you it's not far away.
I hope so.
The intelligent heel tool is definitely sped things up, but it does still get it wrong sometimes. But it's
use it as often as probably you do.
Don't you? I use it for everything unless it mucks it up.
Yeah, I've just not been using it. It seems to muck it up a lot more for me.
Well, if you're not using it, how would you know?
Because I've tried to use it, but I don't like it.
How would you know?
In the Shadow Race cellar, I get rid of, there's a sign on one of the doors. I get rid of it in every shot, and the AI tool does not. Because it's such a big something you're getting rid of, it doesn't get rid of it. So it's just faster for me to.
Where am I? Oh, it was there.
I was exactly where I said to.
Yeah, that's where I was thinking. Said.
I don't know. I don't know.
I was probably a little bit more to the left, but that was the spot.
If you change it to the
one in the middle, it'll do a better job.
No, it will not.
It will.
Check this out. Boom. She gone.
Okay, now zoom in.
It is good.
Zoom in. That's how I could tell exactly where it was before I showed you the circle.
It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's one click. Well, okay.
Your standards and my standards, I guess.
So we get rid of this.
I think Justin's gone rusty.
The heel tool, and then we use this. Oh, yeah, that worked well. I wanted an extra set of that.
Drag it down. Not there. Yeah. Drag it next to it so it's in the same line of grass and line it up and it'll be perfect. And you zoom in. And you can
still see an edge. You're dreaming, Jim. You can tell. Because then you end up with two of the same thing. I'm telling you.
When it's grass, though, it doesn't matter, does it?
It works.
We're picking it.
You don't end up... Because how many times, and be honest, Jim, how many times does it grab something ridiculous for its first selection and you've got to move that thing?
To be fair, not that often now.
I disagree.
How good would it be
for one click things? It doesn't very often. Sometimes it does.
Well, I tell you this, if you have to do something that's on an edge, the AI tool actually works and that other tool will never work.
So say if
it's like someone's next to someone's leg and it goes from behind their leg to next to their leg and it's like through the pants line, the AI tool does work. It figures out there's an edge there and it works it out.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll come around.
Yeah.
You'll come around. Embrace our robot overlords.
All right. What else? Is there, we got anything else happening?
I mean, that's close to it, but
I
don't know. I feel like we need some funnies.
Some funny?
Yeah, I don't know. Google some photography jokes or something.
Bring out some of your photos or something.
With heaps of circles in them.
Yeah. Or the ones with crickets in them.
Photography jokes. What do we got here?
Is this going to be a new section at the end of the podcast?
Yeah.
Justin's jokes.
Bad photography. Why did Jim have to give up his career as a photographer?
I don't know.
He kept losing focus.
Oh,
come on.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Ever since buying These are fucking terrible. Ever since buying a digital camera, I can only think of its positive points. There aren't any negatives. Got you there.
We're losing viewers by the second.
All right.
How does Santa take photos? Something about a sleigh.
No. Anyone? With his North Polaroid.
Oh, that's terrible.
Come on.
What were you saying, Grant?
Why did the photographer go to jail?
Because of his bad jokes.
Because he got framed.
Oh, good one. Good one. A friend of mine is always going on about photography jokes at the end of his podcast. You just can't shutter him up.
Oh, I think that's the end of it. That's the end of the show.
Yelena's throwing one in the chat.
My live chat's not working.
She hasn't put the intro. I think she was answering. I'm going to make it up. Oh, was she making it up?
I think that was the answering the Santa one.
Oh, the Santa one, Alfie's. That's a good. That's better than North Polaroid.
Yeah, that's definitely better.
Oh, just this is so fucking bad.
I got one more.
Yeah, okay, hit us.
Why was the photographer always broke?
Because he keeps buying new shit.
Because he never developed any money shots.
We can't finish on that one. I don't know. No, I don't like it. We can't finish on that one.
I thought we went with that. That's why I went with that.
You got any for us, Jim?
I'll see if I can find. All right.
I've got it.
Why couldn't the photographer see straight?
Why?
He took too many shots.
Oh.
Nah, I've got the good one. What's the difference between a large pepperoni pizza and a photographer?
What? A pepperoni pizza can feed the whole family?
Yeah! Winner. We can end on that.
No, I just saw that. Okay.
That's good. That's good. Let's end it there.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Let's never do that again.
It was beautiful. Don't waste any of the good ones, Jim. Save them for next week.
All right, I'll save them for next week.
Do you want to do it? No, you want to hear the sound?
No.
Okay. Tune in next week for Jim's awesome funny.
Oh, we just got one more viewer. Come on, you got to do it now.
All right, do it. Do it for the last viewer. Hit us, Jim.
What's the fastest way to make money from photography?
Sell all of your camera gear?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to change or charge my battery.
All right.
Was that it?
Could be. I think that's us out.
Yeah, we got to go.
And the goodbye, podcast just got interesting.
Podcast over. Nice. All right. Goodbye.
See you later.